to More Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie.
Hello, Julie.
Hello, Christine. How you doing, Christine Marie? How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing okay.
Everyone out there, it's Sunday night, and you may be feeling the same way we are, which is a little bit of Sunday blues.
Sunday night blues.
That feeling that you didn't accomplish enough on the weekends like you're supposed to. Because God forbid our weekends be free of, you know, of anything.
Just enjoy yourself.
No, they've got to be like, this is the time we're supposed to move forward in our life, and this is good, and we got to get this done and that done. So
we get a little crazy too, right?
A little crazy. And we've got a fun show tonight because we saw some interesting shows I want to share with people.
Oh, I know.
Kind of some fun stuff that I want to talk about. And I also want to talk about when, you know, I'm going through this thing with my boyfriend right now where his mom is not doing well physically.
Right, and yeah. She's 85 or?
No, she's in her 70s.
She said, oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. And we went to this with my grandmother, and it's interesting. I forget all the things that come up family-wise. And Mom always says every family is dysfunctional sometimes.
Except that our family puts the fun in dysfunctional.
Exactly. Right? And so I see the things coming out, and I need to talk about it. I need to have a little therapy about it because
right.
It's bringing up memories of my grandma and the care that needed to go on and so forth. And as well as just I'm feeling crazy with my guy right now. He's crazy right now.
Mm-hmm. And therefore you are.
And therefore
it rubs off. Why does craziness rub off? I want to know that.
It rubs off easier than success.
It does.
it's not a... This is
because always say, you know, your success ratio is an amalgam or the medium of the five closest people.
Right.
And we're saying that our craziness ratio right now is the medium of the five closest people to us. Everybody's crazy.
Yeah, it feels like it. That's exactly right. And when you're in the midst of things, shaking and moving, there's times when you're like, what the heck is going on?
Mm-hmm.
And you just feel crazy. So I need to talk about being crazy.
Yeah. You need to tell people who we are, first of all, and
okay.
A little bit about us, just in case somebody new happens to be listening. Like, you know, somebody that's like always listening tells a friend who told a friend who's now listening. And they go, well, who are Christine?
Well, Adam Carolla always goes, I want to thank you guys right now for spreading the word about Christine, Marie, and Julie.
Thank you for spreading the word.
Exactly. The word about Christine, Marie, and Julie.
Life with a Girlfriend.
Life with a Girlfriend.
And we haven't changed it to More Life, but we have in our hearts.
Right, because our URL
life.
Is Life with a Girlfriend. That's
right.
The reason why. But here's the reason why. It's so, you know, here's who we are. If you can't figure it out, we're really close with each other. We're mother and daughter.
I was going to say, two girlfriends.
We're sister girlfriends? Sister wives? Yes.
We're sister wives. Yes,
yeah.
We are.
As you said, we're not more men, we're more women.
That's right.
That's what Dad wants to know. We're mother and daughter, and it's kind of funny. I always say, because I came along, not too long after you met Daddy. And I always say, you know, in so many ways, we've been together just as long as you and Dad've been together.
That's right.
And
Julie said this week that she's going to throw me and her a big celebration party.
Yes. Well, on the big anniversary.
Dad can come to play.
He can come too. Well, if you're a mother and daughter out there, you know that, and you have a relationship that we have.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a sweet, deep, intimate relationship where there's, you know, you don't have, I know where all your skeletons are buried.
Yeah, exactly.
You know where all mine are, and we choose not to show them all the time.
And we choose not to go there.
Yeah, I choose not to open the door
right.
And let other people see.
Right.
And I always have your back, and you always have mine,
right.
Even if we act a little crazy once in a while. And when I see mothers and daughters that struggle with that, I'm always like, oh, I'm so sorry you're struggling with this because it could be such a sweet relationship.
Right, right. I know I'm blessed.
Even if we're having a kind of a Sunday night blues kind of thing.
Yes.
You know, it's so interesting because I really...
Can we just blame it all on blood sugar?
Sure.
Doesn't it?
Or don't look, we gave up sugar and we're like, screw that.
Yeah, like in that one commercial, you're not yourself. Marsha, Marsha, Marsha.
Yeah, here, have a Snickers bar.
Snickers, yeah.
Damn, I can't have a Snickers bar. I want a Snickers bar. You know, but I love to say a Snickers bar is because the peanuts.
Right. P-E-A-N-U-T-S.
When I said it, I go, that sounds like penis.
It does. That's why I had to spell it for you.
Thank you.
P-E-A-N-U-T-S.
Well, you did one of my, since my mama can critique me a certain way,
mm-hmm.
you know, mama, you did say, Julie, could you just slow down your speech a little bit for me?
I just,
I'm
not,
100 miles an hour.
Just sometimes, Julie, only because I listen to the show during the week, because I enjoy hearing us.
Yeah, you too.
Is that crazy of me? Is that crazy?
No, it's not crazy at all. And so when I said the word peanuts, I thought, oh, it kind of sounds like penis.
Yes, I'll say it. You can't say it because you're the daughter.
Exactly.
But I've been around the block a few times, and I can say
you've been around a few penis blocks.
That's right. I've been around a few penises as long as a block.
I'm not listening.
No.
I really am not. Fingers in my ears.
Now, how many times can we say the word penis on the radio?
I don't know. I have no idea. We're done, though.
Mm-hmm.
We're only talking about through medical terms.
Yeah.
And we're not saying it. We're saying penis.
I may play a doctor on
yes,
TV,
we're only
on
saying
the radio.
It through. We're saying peanuts, by the way.
Yes.
It's like, you know, penis. You know? Mm-hmm. I'm a See, there's a lot of words that sound like it.
Yeah.
And so we never really say the word, everyone, but we say words that are very close, and that makes me laugh.
And you need a good laugh tonight.
Tonight, I do. It's been a hard weekend.
It's been a hard weekend.
And it's been a hard weekend because I didn't get the stuff I wanted to get done, and you guys know me.
And
by
that's
now.
What we're saying. You know, we're saying, you know, that we had this. Julie and I, when we started out, I think it was Friday morning.
Yes.
And or was it Thursday? No, it was Friday morning. And we created a list, and it had The list had four columns.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And each column had, I don't know, five or six or seven things in it.
Yes.
And here it is Sunday night, and da da da
da da da. Some things are done.
Some things are done.
You know what though? Tim Ferriss always tells it, says this on his podcast, and I believe it to be true. But it's the hardest thing to do. Because you want a little success in your life, and you want a little immediate success. It's like when you create this list, pick the one thing that if you did that would make everything else irrelevant or not as important or really up your life better.
Yeah.
And
I mean, he calls it the one thing.
The one thing, yeah.
You make this list, and you look at it. And everything that I think that we did was really just the easy stuff.
The easy stuff that...
But it wasn't anything that would have moved our life forward.
No, and he always says, it's the one thing.
The one thing.
When you don't want to do it.
Yes.
When there's resistance there. Because that's the thing that would do it.
Then that's the thing you need to do.
And you're like, oh. And I wondered if I was brave enough.
I don't know. I don't know if we're that hard on ourselves.
No, I know. It just is a muscle, though. It's just a muscle to develop.
Yeah.
I mean, what if I said today, because, you know, you had a little bit of a... For me, a revelation. You know, everybody knows that I love sugar. And I work with it. And you said, Julie, you said a spirit came.
Holy Spirit gave
you a word, Julie.
Revelation.
Revelation for you, Julie. I'm supposed to pass it along. I'm like, what is it, Mom? And you said, well, first it was just, you know.
You're supposed to lay it down.
Lay it down and not pick it.
And not pick it back up.
What does that mean?
What does that mean, Mom?
You're like, well, let me sit with it for a while and see.
Mm-hmm.
24 hours, 48 hours.
Yeah.
Like, I got it. I go, what is it? Sugar. I'm like, dead Holy Spirit.
And hence, now you're on day three.
And I'm having Sunday night blues.
Yeah.
And it's so funny.
I'm thinking about M&M peanuts. Oh, I said that word again.
Yeah, peanuts.
Uh-oh.
Because that's a new brand. That's a new flavor.
Yes.
Yeah. M&M peanuts. Peanuts. But it's so funny because... You don't have the same issues with sugar that I do. And you could have like a little bite, and you're like, no, I feel good.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I start with a little bite, and then everything looks like amazing. And I go, this would be good, and this would be good. Oh, wouldn't that be awesome?
I know you brought home about 5 days ago, Mom, look at this. Mom, tiramisu gelato.
Yeah, tiramisu gelato. I'm like, Oh, and I had some. It was delicious. And then about 30 minutes into it, I started to belch up a little bit of tiramisu coffee. I'm like, I said, girlfriend, may not have it. Mm-hmm. Not too great. Except here's the problem I'm having with the sugar issues, everyone.
You know it's there, right?
Well, no, the issues is I know better because here I am. I'm open with the fact that I have inflammation in my body, in my joint, in my body, and in my joints. And
Julie,
yes.
Can I say that you said joints?
Yes.
Okay.
And so I will do my due diligence and study, and I've studied enough to know that, you know, what's inflammation about? Where does it come from? And how do you get rid of it? And you're like, ugh. You know, I love my green drinks. Mm-hmm. We had one every day this week.
Yes.
Nice kale spinach drink. It was really good, actually. And so,
especially when you put the pineapple in it.
Oh, please, Mom, don't say that.
No.
I think they would consider that sugar.
People
would say,
all right.
Well,
do some of the purists.
Yes. But yeah, banana and pineapple. Mm-hmm. And when I make it with the berries, it's not nearly as appetizing.
Mm-mm.
But it's still good. It's still good. And so it's one thing knowing, like, I told you I was listening to, we maybe have mentioned this already, but Charles
Paliquin,
thank you. He calls himself the Strength Sensei. And I've listened to his podcast like three times now, and interviewed by Tim Ferriss. And what I loved about him, he said, you know, first off, you know, if you're not under 10% body fat, you know, you shouldn't even be looking at carbs. Second of all, he goes, I don't know what it is about people that they have these great weeks, good workouts, eating wonderfully, and then on Friday night or Saturday night, they want to, like, add a ton of inflammation to their body by having pizza and, like, a chocolate cake as a reward. How is that rewarding your body?
Yeah, I mean, this is a voice of reason, right?
Yeah, I'm like, whatever.
This is what sanity really sounds like.
Doesn't it? Like, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, why would you want to do that to yourself? Really? Because you're not fucked up like we are.
Yes, exactly. You haven't fantasized about being a pastry chef in France your whole entire life, or... I mean, that's not totally true, but I heard the life of a pastry chef one time, and she's like, I wake up at, 9 a.m. No, I wake up at 9 a.m., get things prepped, go home, sleep for 2 hours, and I finally make it home to bed at midnight. And that's my life day in, day out, 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm. Ooh la la.
Fun. I'm thinking, I'm making pastry just for myself.
Yes.
Forget that.
Yes.
He was commenting going on one of these... gym's websites, like a 24-hour gym website that you pay $20 a month for and so forth. And it says, you know it's not a real gym when they really recommend you to have one cheat meal a week and it's pizza and cake and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
Why do this?
I mean, and he was so, I don't know, just sane. And he said, you know, if you're really serious, he goes, maybe 6 months into it, I may let you lick a picture of a chocolate cake.
Exactly.
You know? And that's how serious that... And, you know, he's clear as a bell. He's in his 50s,
oh,
right?
Oh, yes.
He's strong. Sound, he's strong. And you're like, okay, this is a man who walks his talk.
Oh, and exactly. When Tony Robbins talks about, I haven't had sugar, I haven't had ice cream in 13 years before I met my wife.
Right.
And now I'll have a bite of hers once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But truly, I think of food only as fuel. Mm-hmm. Only as fuel.
And what must that, you know, what does that look like, you know?
And yet I want to say that my soul, I have programmed my soul to sing when I create food and have fun with it.
Yes.
On the other hand, I have inflammation in my body.
Right.
And how do I address these issues? And gratefully, I have pretty decent blood sugar. I'm happy with that. But like the Mayo Clinic... And somebody said it was named after mayonnaise. Is that true?
Oh, Julie. I'd be hard-pressed to say yes.
I'm going to have to Google that.
Could you do that?
Yeah, yeah.
The origins of the Mayo, in quotes, clinic. Oh, Mr. Hellman, thank you for your big donations.
No, I'm serious. I think they said something about... the guy who created mayonnaise donated.
That's what I'm saying. Is it Mr. Hellman or Mr. Kraft?
I'm going to look.
Yeah. Sing it.
Yeah. I'm not getting it there yet.
I can't imagine how you're going to even word that.
I just said origins of Mayo Clinic name, but...
Oh, that's pretty good.
I don't even know how possibly you could Google that. I don't know, origins of Mayo Clinic name? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, you got it. You got it.
You know, so I'll kind of peek at it once in a while. Of course, it doesn't come up right away, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It just has, it spends over $500 million a year on research. That's pretty awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I also want to talk about a show we just saw last night in the middle of the night.
Oh, yeah.
We had a little bit of a...
This is so much fun. I'd like to talk... Can we talk about it now?
We can. Talk about it now.
Or you want to wait till later? Because I so enjoyed this show.
No, I want to talk about it now because I want to get then to the meat of the show,
mm-hmm.
which is... it's all meat. Let's just be real.
Julie. Julie.
What?
You said joy.
Oh, mama.
And now you said meat.
Yes.
Okay.
Dr. William Worrell Mayo settled his family in Rochester.
Oh.
So it was after a guy named Mayo.
Okay.
Now, I'm not sure if he made mayonnaise, though.
No.
Yeah. I should Google that. Did Dr. William Worrell Mayo create mayonnaise?
Well, I mean, with that kind of money, he might have.
Exactly. I just want to let you know, Mom, mayonnaise comes from eggs. Another thing to put on our list of
eggs
are so powerful.
That's right.
And so wonderful.
That's right.
Okay, so everyone.
We do have a list that we keep adding to week after week of what wonderful things that
eggs
you can
and
make
dairy.
With eggs.
And milk,
yeah.
Because I really think if we just had chickens.
And cows.
Cows. We could live forever,
mm-hmm.
just on that. Because mm-hmm. if our chickens eat healthy and our cows eat healthy, then we're eating healthy off of them. So,
you know, never mind.
Okay.
You know, if the chickens eat this and the cows eat this, you would think that you'd be eating what the chickens and cows eat. Instead, your thought is, I'm eating the chickens. I'm eating the chickens and cows.
You know what? Because that's exactly right.
That's right.
I'm sorry.
It's a middleman. You're just trying to...
I know there may come a day when we all have to go vegan to support the population. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when that day's going to come.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be ready for it. But I'm trying to tell you the truth. I love my spinach and kale shake that I make. I love it. Oh, my gosh. But I really love, like...
I know.
Cheese.
Oh, cheese? Oh, I could give that up. I really could.
Why? You can't give up butter.
No, I can't give up butter. No. A piece of toast is a butter delivery system for me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then eggs, scrambled eggs. Oh, man.
No,
okay.
I can give up scrambled eggs in a heartbeat.
An omelet, egg over easy?
Yes, could definitely.
All right.
I really could.
Can you give up chicken?
No. Yes, I can give up chicken, but I can't give up steak.
Okay.
I mean, I could, but that would be the hard
one. I mean,
we
really could, but, you know.
Chicken makes me nauseous sometimes, just thinking about it. But.
Okay, I don't know why.
I don't know either.
Okay, so quickly, everyone. Here's a show I want to talk about.
Yeah.
First off, I saw The Man from U.N.C.L.E. today.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was okay. I give it B minus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow, minus.
B minus. I fell asleep twice in it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was awake, not because I was exceptionally tired, just because... It had sweet, nice music and beautiful scenery, and I'm like, oh, I'm kind of just going to chill here and watch it. Surprisingly, not a lot of drama, not a big storyline, but everybody was really pretty. The scenery was pretty. The stars were pretty. The flashiness of it all.
And you told me it was a Guy Ritchie movie, and so he's got his own style.
Yes, and sometimes...
And it's very... He was a guy who was married to Madonna for a while.
And didn't he, if I'm not mistaken, I may be confusing him with Soderbergh.
Well, I don't know. How are you?
Ocean's 11, 12, or 13.
Yeah, no, he didn't.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. One of those? Okay.
No.
Yes. So anyway, but it was good. It was stylish, I will say that.
Mm-hmm.
But now a show that Mom and I, we woke up in the middle of the night last night.
We woke up in the middle of the night. Julie came into my room, and so we're talking. And I said to Julie, you know that show about the gay Lutheran minister who dies, and then somebody takes his place in this little town. She's like, what? What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
She's like screaming at me, like, what are you saying? Are you hallucinating? That's how she asked. That's exactly when it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm saying, you know, by the way, Julie, I'm just having this nice little, what? You're insane. You're like, what? And then you grab the clicker,
yes.
And you're like, I'm going to prove to you how insane you are.
You are making this
and
up.
And I said, and you go, what's it called? And I go, it's called Impastor. And you went, Impostor? I said, no, Julie, it's about this gay Lutheran minister who dies, and an imposter comes.
So he's the impastor.
And so he's the impastor. And you grab the clicker, and so you go to... in our hopper, what is that? You go to the DVR. No,
yeah,
you go to
the hopper, the DVR. Yeah. Oh, actually, I went to not DirecTV, but I don't know now.
No,
whatever.
Like free TV or no?
Demand.
Demand.
TV
yes.
on demand.
That's right.
Oh my goodness gracious! Mm-hmm. And it was there on TV Land.
Yes, TV Land.
And I want to say right now, this was the funniest show I've seen in such a long time.
I know.
I laughed hysterically from 2 to 3:30.
Yeah.
Well, 2 to 3.
Well, because we had missed 3 episodes.
Yes.
We didn't even, well, I was just telling you about it, and you were like, okay, I'll give you this one episode, Mom. And like 20 minutes later, I got to watch episode 2.
Yeah, nothing like binging on a 3 episode.
Yeah,
at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And people are probably going, why did you walk into the room at 3 o'clock in the morning? I like
none of these wax.
Yes, or I sometimes check to make sure they're alive.
I have to, like, I wake up with a mirror in front of my mouth. Yes, Julie, I'm still here.
I'm still here.
Oh,
sure you.
Like, damn.
Well, ever since that, you know, Kev's little heart attack, I guess, sometimes I just wake up like, oh, my God, am I up for a reason? Should I check on them?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Right.
So I will skirmy down like a little mouse and check, and I'm like, oh.
You came walking in, and I was like.
You were up.
I was up.
Yeah, like, hey, you're up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I go, sit down. Let's talk. Let's chat,
like,
girlfriend.
Okay. And then so we watched it, and I kept to say the first 3 episodes, A plus, A plus,
oh,
A plus.
Laughing out loud in the middle of the night. How great is that?
It is sweet with a little bit of raunch.
Yes.
And I
oh,
mean,
it is.
And
yes.
It's not like overtly raunchy. Mm-hmm. It's more just like, what did he just say?
Yeah.
What did he just say?
Can you set it up just how the beginning is?
Okay,
just a
so
little
the
tiny
yes.
bit. Because it is so good.
So in the beginning, this 30-something, early 30-something, maybe,
yeah.
Late, you know.
Guy named Buddy Pearson
yeah.
or something like that.
I think he's early 30s, maybe mid-30s, whatever. Anyway, we see him drinking in a bar. Loan shark people come to him, want to kill him because he's not paying back his money. He has only one choice at this moment to do is to run away. And he tells his girlfriend, and his girlfriend's like, I'm done chasing you.
Yeah, not only am I not running away with you,
I'm breaking up with you.
So there.
And so he runs, and he's about ready to jump off the St. Augustus Bridge, or Augustine Bridge. St. Vincent's Bridge.
Just because, I'm just saying.
Exactly. And as fate would have it, this pastor, Lutheran, the gay Lutheran minister, stops on the bridge going, whatever
bridge.
You do,
don't
do it, don't do it. A year ago, my life was crap, and now I've got a new job, and I'm looking forward to life again. There's more to life than this. And he goes, you don't know. You don't know.
You don't know me.
And the buddy say, you don't know. He goes, I'll prove it to you, the pastor says. And he gets up, and he gets on the bridge, and he slips and falls in the ocean,
yeah,
or in the whatever,
right.
Whatever
well,
below.
He was going to get up, and I'll tell you how much I believe in that there's a better life. I'll get there with you, you know.
I'll get there with you.
Yeah.
And then he gets there, he slips and falls. And dies.
Yeah. And Buddy's like, uh-oh. Like,
ruh-roh. Whoa. What the hell just happened there?
But Buddy looks around, and the gay minister's car is there.
Yep.
Door open. And he's like,
all right.
I think I'll just
head on down.
Yeah. So he gets in the car, and there's the guy's wallet's there, and all that. His phone is there. And
he gets a
and
message.
And he assumes this guy's identity.
Right, because what happens is the first thing that happens is he gets a phone call from his assistant that he has for his new job in a small little town saying, oh, I can't wait to, you know, see you in person for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and or like he gets on the phone, oh, we've only talked by emails.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to finally hear your voice. So
right.
We get this impression that, oh, my goodness, he really could pull this off.
Right.
And he tries.
Yes.
And craziness ensues.
And it's hilarious.
It is hilarious.
And it's a well-written show. And you're right. There's a funny element of raunch in there, but it's adult humor.
Yes.
And we're all grown-ups, you know. And I love the show. I can't wait till next Wednesday.
Yeah.
When the new episode comes on.
I totally get that. Yeah. I mean, I totally understand. Now I want to go and I want to say DirecTV, but it's not DirecTV. It's
On Demand.
On Demand. Demand TV for the Jim Gaffigan show.
Jim Gaffigan. Which is cute.
You've seen it.
It's new. I saw one episode. It's cute. He's charming.
I want to say congratulations to TV Land.
Yeah.
Because so far the imposter was...
They found their niche.
Hello.
Yeah.
Now, I'm curious if it's that raunchy live, like on the TV Land, or only in the DirecTV.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
They add a couple of the words in.
Well, because, you know, it is TV Land, but it has this, you know, like... There's an element of USA in there. Yeah, you could,
right.
You know, like...
Exactly. Good choice.
Yeah.
Good words.
Yeah.
Here's an example. Out of the clear blue sky, we hear the words, I like clock, but you take out the word, the letter L.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like,
mm-hmm.
What did you say? What did you say?
Yeah, you'll hear that.
You're like, what?
On this show.
And you're like, what? And it's funny because he's a straight guy
He's a hunky straight guy.
Hunky straight guy.
And all the girls are going, he's gay. No, I got better gaydar than that.
Yeah,
he is not gay.
No. So we give it 5 stars.
Oh, absolutely.
Fun.
Oh, yeah. And some of the lines, because, I mean, he's playing a gay Lutheran minister, and he has no religious background. In fact, he finds this game in the parsonage where he's now staying, a Bible game for children.
Mm-hmm.
And so he plays the game, and that's what he knows about the Bible, you know.
Yes. And, I mean, it's just hysterical because I'm thinking of this one scene where he's praying for blessing a dead dog
mm-hmm.
that had died a
oh
year ago.
Oh, my gosh.
And he's trying to find a hair.
Oh, my
gosh.
And
he ends up pulling a hair from someplace down under.
In his pants.
Yes. Hence the word.
I thought you said down under. I thought, like, Australia? I don't know what you mean.
And then the guy's like, oh, you found a piece of his hair. And you're like... Oh, please don't do what you think you're going to do to it. Oh, please don't. And he does.
And he milks it for everything he's got.
Hysterical. And maybe because it was 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm hanging out with my mom.
Yeah.
You know what? 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, come on. It's crazy.
Yeah. You and I sitting there eating cashews.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm a little hungry at 3 in the morning. You know?
Well, we could have made some eggs.
Yes, we could have.
No, we didn't.
We could have.
So I can really recommend that. And one of the things that I have been following this summer, if any of you, is Mr. Robot. And the first episode or two was, I was like, hello, people, really well written.
Right.
Really.
Where
cool.
am I at in this world? This is wild.
Yeah, and now I guess I'm into it's 7 episodes, and I'm like, WTF, I do not know what's going on.
I have to binge this. I have not watched it yet.
Yeah, you've got to.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I still am going to... There's 2 episodes ago, so I'm not going to give up on
it. No.
But this is one that started off great, and now it's just like, oh, no.
Crazy? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Crazy. And, you know, when you get to a whole episode of, like, a dream sequence, or there are, you know, that this is all happening because they're, you know, in a kind of a drug-altered state. You know,
oh,
that's
no,
like
is that
jumping,
what happened?
That's kind of like jumping the shark,
Is
right?
that what happened with the guy from Soup?
The guy from Soup.
Remember we saw
Oh, yeah, no, that
okay.
really happened.
Okay.
Yeah, that really happened.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
Okay, because anybody watched the Soup last weekend, there's an a scene from Mr. Robot and it's like, what in the world? Is this on primetime TV?
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, we've done our shows. We've had a little bit of fun, girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And because of, like, law of attraction, if you focus on something positive, you feel better, and
mm-hmm.
I feel better.
And you feel better.
I don't need as much therapy right now.
Oh, good.
But I have no problem, you know, washing my dirty laundry in front of people or on the radio. So that's not it, is it? It's not airing your dirty laundry. No, what is the saying?
I think airing.
Airing. Okay,
oh, yeah, but I'd like washing, too. It's more graphic. I'm just picturing you, you know, there's a your underpants in the sink and you're like, you know, throwing in some wool light. And
it's on YouTube.
Yeah.
And like, hello, yeah. We're doing a radio show while I'm washing my underwear.
And now you've got 800 followers.
Yes.
Watching you wash your underpants.
Is that what I have to do? That's what I have to
do. That's all you had to do to get...
You know what? I'm going to look up washing underwear on YouTube and see if there's anybody there, because that could be my niche.
That could be your niche. I would support that.
I'm okay with having weird stuff like that. Until, you know, I don't have any kids, so what are they going to do?
Yeah.
I mean, I do have nieces. I guess I wouldn't be too happy for them to see that. Like, Julie. Aunt Julie, what are you doing washing your dirty laundry on YouTube? Girls, do you see the hits? I'm not even doing it for money. I'm just doing it for YouTube hits. Well, how big of a, you know.
Yeah, really. How desperate are you?
Exactly. For heaven's sakes. Okay, so anyway, changing. Unless you're not done yet, girlfriend, do you have any more to say about this?
No, because I know you're going. What you're trying to do is transition from... Yeah. Kind of lightheartedness to like something that is has major gravitas. Is that where we lose everybody? But no,
stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Exactly. Mama will pull it out for us. Mm-hmm. She'll make it all better. Okay, so here.
Mama always makes it better.
So here's where I'm at right now. My guy Doug, he's crazy right now.
Elliot's crazy.
Yes. My guy Doug is crazy right now. I'm cutting him a lot of slack, but I'm to the point where I really don't know what else to do.
Yeah, because he got sick this weekend. He's like a stealth doggy. If he goes into our closet, we have like a whole line of shoes, Daddy and I do, all on the bottom of the thing. But he comes out, he's stealth, and he takes the one that has the fur and balls on it. Oops. I said balls.
I know.
So I've said balls, meat, joint.
Yes.
Penis.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. You're all there tonight, girlfriend.
This is wild.
I know.
I'm not even trying. Can you imagine if I would have been trying?
I can't. You'd be off the wall.
I know.
Okay, so anyway, I'm going to change something again then.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm taking a beat from you, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Now, girlfriend, you know the Cubs, right?
Right.
They're on a winning streak.
Yay. The little Cubbies are on a winning streak.
However, why is it when they're on a losing streak? It was just like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard all about it. Oh, they're just horrible. They can't win. Another losing year.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're on a winning streak, and you don't hear much about it.
Mm-hmm.
You hear a little bit about it. Mm-hmm. People are slightly happy.
Well, because our Chicago fans, you know, they're just like, they're kind of messes. They're kind of hot messes.
Hot messes?
Yeah, because they only like you when, you know, they only like to bitch about the Cubs. Nobody wants to like, yay, our Cubbies are on a winning streak. No, it's like bad news.
Okay.
Think so?
I think so, but I think it's in how it is in general. I think when things are bad, they feel bad intensified.
Mm-hmm.
I think when things are bad, when something's going bad, it intensifies other areas in your life. When things are going good, I think you have to really strive to focus on the good, to really celebrate the good.
I know. I mean, because it's so much easier, number one, to feel bad. And you don't... And feeling bad is so much more intense than, like, feeling good for a moment.
It does. And I think also we talked about this earlier, about you're the average of the five people around you in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
And crazy can rub off on you real fast.
Yeah.
And success takes a little while to rub off. I think, why is it?
I don't know.
I think, though, that success or anything like that that's achievable or that you want to achieve, It's there's so many steps involved to get there, but really there's only like one or two steps to failure.
Oh, isn't it true?
And I'm not even two steps, one step.
You're like signing off on one thing.
You sign off on one thing, and you've just lost ground.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
And so I've been kind of playing with this like what is that about? And great, you know, and how do we be thankful in our world, which we are. We're always thankful. But I just want to throw that out there a little bit. I find that very interesting.
I want to. I'm curious to find this out, but I want to interject something regarding the Cubs that I think is a cute story that maybe the audience may as well. You have a your faux son-in-law who he buys tickets every year.
Oh yes.
Can you tell that story? Because I think it's. I thought it was hysterical.
Okay. Well, anyway, he just started...
Because this is the mind of you, and this is the mind of him. So.
Right. He just started buying tickets this year, season tickets, like $4,000. And they're just two tickets.
Yeah.
Decent seats, but not great seats. And so, but this year, he's asking for investors. And the way you do is you invest money, and then at the end of the year, whatever money they've made, they pay you back or whatever.
Now you have to wait a whole year for this investment.
Right. And he said, like, he tells me, like, my cousin Caleb, he invested $200, and this year he'll get back $180.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like...
And that was his selling story.
Right.
Because he wanted you to invest $200.
Right. And I thought to myself, well, why can't I just give you $20 now and just call it a day? Like, don't worry about it. Just take my $20.
Take the $20. Yeah, I don't have to wait a year.
Exactly. You know, why not do this?
I don't know. I found that heartwarming, that little story.
Well, this brings me to a point then, because I want to ask you a Tim Ferriss question. People are going to think I'm in love with Tim Ferriss, and I might possibly be, but that's okay.
He's a little younger than you.
100%. But he's not in that 10-year range. I mean, I'm a 10-year person.
Mm-hmm.
10 years above, 10 years below, I feel comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
Anything out of that range... If you're closer to my parents' age, I don't like. And if you're closer to my, you know, faux stepsons and stepdaughters' age, I don't like that either.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
So you're going to ask me a question
I
now.
Am.
You're choosing to do it now.
I'm
all
choosing
right.
to do it now. And then I will. So I was going to say this. What would people say, Mom, is your biggest asset?
Hmm.
Or what you're good at?
That's a great question. I would like to know that answer.
I'm asking what you think people would say.
I know, but I would like to know what people would say, though.
Okay, I'll say it. You say yours first, and I'll tell you what I think they should say.
Okay.
What I think your biggest asset is.
I'm loyal. because of my intuition, I think that I'm pretty good that way. That would be I think I'm known for that. You know, I mean, like the Tesla Club wants me to go, you know, channel Tesla.
Yes.
And, what else am I good for? My sense of humor, my all embracing love of humanity. Don't go ahead.
And
what would they say
that you're good at solving? What problems would they say you're good at solving?
Oh, yeah. Oh, big problems.
Big
problems. Is that a good answer, Julie?
Yeah.
Well, I know the things that I'm bad at. Like, I would get bogged down in the minutiae of stuff.
Right.
Like, I like to solve big problems. I like to delegate and make sure everything's, you know, running smoothly. But if you give me the minutiae crap, I'm down on that one. That's not good. But you're good at that.
Yes. I guess I try to be, but I've been failing lately at that.
Mm.
But isn't it funny how minutia sounds like manure? That's really what it is. It's manure of
the
problem.
It is. It's the manure of life.
Yes.
Minutia.
I think, yes, you're incredibly loyal to the few people that you choose to be loyal to. You'd help them bury the body.
Right.
Not literally everyone, metaphorically or not metaphorically. Yeah, metaphorically. Figuratively.
Yes.
Figuratively. Or metaphysically. spiritually. and you work with this. This is your biggest asset as well as your biggest, you're being loyal and that you'll cut it. Like you say, you'll cut a bitch.
I'll cut a bitch.
Yeah. You mess with me and my family, I'm taking you down.
That's right.
And luckily, Dad and I have held you back a couple of times.
That's right.
Because, like, you're writing checks that I got to pay.
I know. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. Definitely intuitive. But I also think that you are the heart of any group. The heart and soul of any group. And you like to see that shine through in any way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think you feel responsible for our spiritual growth.
Right.
As a family.
A little bit.
And I think you like to feel like you facilitate people's spiritual growth in other areas.
Right.
Or that you want to make sure that they feel better when they leave your presence.
That is exactly right.
Yes.
I do like that. Mm-hmm. I would never have thought that about me, but yes, I do like that.
So that, I think, goes to your biggest assets. I agree. You like to solve big problems, and you like to tell people how to solve them, and then like go away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my work is done here.
Yes.
Now you go.
You go do it.
And do this, okay?
Go out, young man.
Go out and do this. I've given you your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It's an awesome purpose for you. Now, go do it.
You can't see that.
You know, and even for you, you're like, I know my purpose, but oh my gosh, the minutiae is just driving me crazy.
I know. Oh my gosh. It just erodes, you know, it eats away at you.
You know, and it's funny for me, I would consider myself loyal as well.
Yes.
And it's funny, other people, though, what would people other than my mom or my dad say was my biggest asset or what I'm known for?
Mm-hmm.
I guess what I'm known for, really. And it's surprising to me, but when somebody said it, I go, well, I guess that's true. And that is exact quote from a friend, you're the person that talks people off of the ledge.
Yes. That's true.
Figuratively.
Yes, that's true.
And
I even will say that to you sometimes if I'm, you know, if I'm like at my wit's end.
Yes.
I'll go, Julie, I need an appointment. I need you to talk me down off the ledge.
I know a good other good friend of mine called me a cheerleader, the cheerleader of the group.
Mm.
I'm like, what? I like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's interesting. So I see where my place is in the world in some sense of how they see me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm totally fine by that.
Yeah.
There's some other things I wish I'd be seen by. You know, I've seen like a savvy businesswoman. You know, you have a business problem, go to her, she'll solve it for you. You know. But I'm okay with that,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And so it's nice to know, in some ways, they say take what you do and make it bigger, expand on it.
Mm-hmm.
How do we expand on these ideas? And so I ask everybody out there, you know, what do you think your friends would say about you?
You know, I just think that is, I love that. You know, I would love to ask my closest people what my, you know, like you said, the biggest asset is.
And exactly. And it's not my double D's.
It's what?
It's not my double D's.
Oh, yeah, right.
I think that's a challenge for everybody this week. I'm going to pose that as a challenge.
Okay.
Because I think we'd be surprised. And I think if we really saw, if there was a pattern with it, I think we could go, hey, what is this something that I should really be focusing on?
Mm-hmm.
Could I develop it more?
You know, what do you think is Normano's? I was actually, a couple weeks ago, you know, actually thinking about this. Like, what is his big asset? What would you say his is? And I'll tell you what I came up with that day.
Well, as his daughter, I always see him as being a really hard, good working man for his family.
Right.
And as he's gotten older, I see more of the reality of that.
which is
he was.
Yeah.
But also, because I've worked with him off and on now, he can be a little complainer. I always thought he was like this hero man going out there taking
right.
care. And I'm like, oh, to the he kind of complains a little bit.
Because, like, you always said the good ones play injured.
And he does, 100%.
Yes.
He
yeah.
is a good one that plays injured, 100%. I also think his biggest asset, and I was thinking about this, is that he has a way to make everyone feel like they're good old buds.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's a gift to make people feel instantly comfortable with you.
Right. Well, so because I, you know, like really several weeks ago, I was just thinking about him. And I was like, what, you know, I wasn't really saying like, oh, what's his biggest asset? But I was thinking, what is it that I really, if someone would say, Chrissy, define, you know, who Normano is. You know, what is he to you? You know, and I just closed my eyes and I heard this song. It's an old song, but it was like, and I'm easy.
Yeah.
Easy like Sunday morning.
100%. Yeah.
And I was like,
that's Norm.
That's how I feel when I'm with Norm.
Yes.
It's like he's just easy.
And sometimes that drives you up the wall.
Sometimes it does, but in general, that just that the energy of that song,
yes.
You know,
well,
I'm easy like Sunday morning, and when I'm with him and we're like mm-hmm. in the groove and in the zone,
yes.
That's exactly how it feels. Like everything is easy. I just want to be, you know, it's like in bed, drinking coffee, working the Sunday New York Times crossword puzzle. You know, that's that kind of a
yeah.
thing. Or like some days on Sunday, we'd go to the river and just,
yeah.
you know.
Well, it's interesting because we talked about this during the week you and I have, because last week we had Jeremiah 14 as our Bible quote talking about a plan, how God has a plan for you.
Yes.
And this week we chose, I think it was Philippians 4. And it, in a nutshell, it was all about Paul and being content.
Right.
And you know, thank you for your support.
You're paraphrasing.
Yes,
you know,
I am 100% paraphrasing.
Yes.
The essence is thank you for your support, and I wish you much support in your accounts, like you're making. But I haven't asked for it.
Yeah.
Because I've learned to be content. In good and bad.
Right.
And I think that's what Dad is. He's content.
Yes. That's what you get when you're with him.
Yes.
You feel that he's just okay. Like he'll say, I'll be like, you know, crazy girl. And he'll say, it's going to be okay. And I'll believe that.
Yes.
You know, the way he says it, I'll believe it. And you're right. With Paul, I think it was he writing to the Ephesians? Or I don't know, but... Because I've learned to be content in everything, in the good and bad, and he said, I've had a little,
yep,
and I've had a lot,
yes,
and in both things, I've learned to be content, and so I love that because in life you're gonna have ups and downs,
yes.
You're gonna have a lot, and you're gonna have a little, you're gonna have things not wanting to work out, you know, big obstacles.
Right, and
things can go smoothly.
Yes.
But in all of that, to find this sort of supernatural, really, contentment.
Well, and we talked about this just briefly, and I'll share it with everybody a little bit. This idea that's where we start. I mean, if we come to whoever we want to believe with, or to our problems with being content, good or bad, we then can attack the problem from a higher vantage point.
100%.
But if we come to a problem...
at the same level...
and are just feeling anxious and mm-hmm. sad, depressed, mm-hmm. flustered, crazy, we don't get to solve it at a higher level.
No, and even...
Our job is to get feeling a little bit content just being
yeah.
here.
Yeah, oh, you're so... Well, see, you're on the right track because... I don't know if this is that Bible quote, but it said, you know, be of good cheer or don't be anxious. You know, and so it's like we're supposed to change our state first,
yes,
before we can change our situation.
Bing, 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 bing,
do you understand
bing, bing,
that?
100%, because
yeah.
law
yes.
of attraction, yeah.
Yes.
We totally understand that.
Yeah.
And so
by changing our state, we do change the situation. We don't even realize it.
No. And the and this just came to me.
Go ahead.
We do know that when things are observed, they behave differently.
Yes. And what's that called? Some Schrodinger's cat.
Okay, yes.
Or it's actually called this law of observation.
Yes. Either one works for me. I don't know. Somebody's cat. But, and I wonder if things change depending on who's observing.
Right, of course.
And so when we know what a problem is and we're observing it through the eyes of even the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which is peace, you know, even abundance.
Yes, joy.
Joy.
Even patience.
Holy cow, we're able to take this problem
mm-hmm.
and use it as the vehicle for our transformation, mm-hmm. as our transmutation. What does Deepak Chopra call it when you go higher and higher and higher, mm-hmm. that transmutation?
I don't know.
Transcendence. That's it,
yeah,
transcendence. Thank you. Because mm-hmm. I love it when Deepak talks about, really, you cannot get higher and higher up energetically without problems to
mm-hmm.
solve.
No, you can't.
No, and we know that.
Yeah. Challenges.
You know, mm-hmm. I was talking to this one guy, and I love it when he goes, you know, I always want to say, if you're a believer, well, like, bad stuff happens to you. And he goes, so there is no God. I'm like, what does that mean? What does that mean? What
mm-hmm.
is, why mm-hmm. does not, because everywhere problems occur.
Right.
And guess what? Through those problems, we bring our assets
into play.
Yeah. And we solve them at a higher level.
Yes.
Thus far, transcendence occurs.
And,
transformation occurs.
And thank God, because then evolution can occur.
Yes.
And the world gets better.
The world gets better.
And that's real, legitimate hope, right?
Just amen to that, sister.
Yeah.
And that's real, legitimate hope.
Yes.
You said something to me the other day that I thought was hysterical.
Tell me what I said.
You said something about, I want to be the person who starts giving false hope to people.
That's right.
You're like, I'm going to call my website False Hope Here. False Hope Here. And there's nothing wrong with that. Maybe you start off with having false hope.
Yeah.
And that slowly edges towards, yeah, maybe possible hope. And then finally you got, hey, you know what, kiddo? Mm-hmm. You got some legitimate hope
yeah,
there.
Yeah, right. I'm going to work with you. I'm going to give you a little bit of false hope
yep.
so you stay.
Yeah.
And eventually we're going to
we'll
go through
that.
This,
yeah.
and we're going to come out the other end. You're going to have legitimate hope.
And you'll be like, hey, this is awesome. I'm glad I stayed.
Yes.
You know, you got me here on the false hope, man.
Yes, right.
That's what you brought me in.
Yeah.
I was that big fish out there. You brought me in on the false hope.
That reeled you in.
Yeah, you reeled me in the false hope.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of moved me into some potential,
yeah.
you know, hope.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I'm staying for the legitimate hope. I love it.
Because I'm the heart and soul of a group, aren't I, girlfriend?
You are. That's what I love about you.
Mm.
And every time I say love, I think of little Lillian.
Yes.
I love that.
That's
I
what
love
I...
tomatoes.
I love that doll.
I do.
Yeah.
Julie, I love your necklace, Aunt Julie.
Mm-hmm.
Nona gave me one just like it, and I love it.
And then Pippa, she'll say, she was like brushing my hair, and she like really hurt me, like, and I went, ow. And she looked at me and she went, sorry, sorry.
sorry.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
Mm.
Well, good. We've connected now, and you have a soul. you don't want to hurt me. Yay. That's good.
I just keep hearing that in my head.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I gotta appreciate the little kids.
That's right.
You know. And I appreciate the fact that Gregory can take care of them because, my gosh, he's so energetic with them. I love that
mm-hmm.
about him. That's his biggest asset.
That's
too.
His biggest asset.
His unbound amount of energy.
Right.
He pushes through world.
That he just doesn't phone it in.
No.
I
not
mean,
one bit.
There. You know. I mean, I can list all the days that
yeah.
I just phoned that in. You know.
Well. Thanks, girlfriend. I never thought you did. You know, but now that I'm thinking back, there were a couple of days in there that you phoned in being a parent.
Mama, you phoned it in, Mama?
Thanks, Mama.
I didn't really call it that. I just called it like the 2 o'clock cocktail hour.
I remember really quick, I'll phone this little story in. I don't know how old I was, probably 5 years old, and you always had us doing chores at an early age
mm-hmm.
and made it fun. Like, we had contests,
right.
a little list and with written words on it. And
oh, we're still doing lists, Julie.
I know, we're still doing lists. And I remember plugging the vacuum cleaner in, you know, barely reaching the outlet in the bathroom, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
oh, stretching really hard, and touching the prongs. When it was partially in,
oh,
and
no.
getting shocked really bad,
oh, no.
and then running to you, and you're like, what happened? I got shocked. Mom, I got shocked. Yeah. I go, come sit here, Julie. It's okay. She goes, okay, now you're better, right? Okay, go finish your vacuum cleaner.
That sounds like me.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, that's like
get back on the horse.
Like when Gregory, he broke his collarbone in gym. He came home, you know, he could hardly move. And I go, you know, you're sitting here. You know what? I think you should vacuum.
Yeah.
That's the time I...
You know, I love that. Vacuum is like meditation in our household.
That's right.
Well, anyway, everyone, thank you very much
when
for listening
in doubt,
to...
That's our takeaway from the day. Yes. When in doubt, vacuum.
Exactly. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And
I had a wonderful time. I think it was really great, honey.
It was great.